What a friend we have in Jesus. And I think 1 and 2 would be okay. Excellent. So we're going to sing hymn number 526. What a friend we have in Jesus. Another song. Yes. 130, first and last. God will take care of you, first and last. Another 569. We've a story to tell the nations.
Amen to that.
1 and 4. Full of pompin'. We've a story to tell.
To the nations.
Dasheth under us to the light, a story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light,
a story of peace and light, for the darkness shall turn to the dawning, and the dawning to the light,
and Christ's grace kingdom shall come on. To show to the nation who the path of sorrow has trod, that all of the world, great peoples, might come to the truth of God, might come to the truth of God. For the darkness shall turn to the dawn, and the dawning to the light, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light.
Trudy. 431. 431. Jesus, Jesus. Let there be peace on earth. How about 7:16? Rejoice, the Lord is King, and 1 and 4. Number 7:16.
And sing,
much.
Oops.
We appreciate your all cooperating in our hymn sing this morning, and we will continue into our worship. Diane, it's a beautiful song, and thank you very much for your music. We took you to the task this morning with all of our songs, boom, 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 and I appreciate that you're so able to just go from one song to another. I have told Pastor on a number of occasions when he has asked me to substitute at the last minute, that's great, I'm happy to do it, but please don't have any sharps or flats. And you did sharps and flats just fine. So thank you, thank you. That's a real talent to just extemporaneously pop up song. So good morning, and my name is Susan Walmsley, and I'm happy to be here with you this morning to worship in our wonderful sanctuary. We are here at the House of Faith, the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, and it's wonderful to see you all here, and I'm hoping that you're equally happy to be here with us as well. We have a number of announcements that we can before that, yes, I'm cautioned here. Please sign in on the red pad. So there are red pew pads, and that way you can indicate your presence here. And we appreciate that. Also, in the On the backs of the pews are the blue prayer cards. So if you would like to have us pray over a concern, please make sure that you make a note of that on a prayer card. You can then place it in the plate as you leave our sanctuary after service. Yes, and you're also invited to come across the breezeway at the end of our service for coffee and refreshments and an opportunity to chit-chat with people. So that will bring us to announcements. So as you can see, we're here still in October, and Janine's here, so it's good to see her here. She's having a birthday. And a number of people are here. Bruce, I saw him. And we also have Kathy up in the, she has been the person who's been ringing the bell at the beginning of our service. If you hear the church bell, that's because Kathy is experiencing her youth in being able to be the person that pulls the cord and rings that bell. what a joy, right, Kathy? What a joy. And so those are all the happy birthdays, and happy birthday to all of you. The October newsletter is available in the Narthex. Also, you may have received it online because you're part of the online crew that has it emailed to you. And if you would like to have it emailed to you, just please make contact with Lauren in the church office. And that, of course, can be done without without any problem at all. And we are still the cereal church. Boxes of cereal can be brought to the church here or to the office. So next time you're at your local store, what a great way to support the church is if you buy a Stater Brothers script card and then use it in part to purchase your cereal, but also food for yourself. So that cereal does go to families in need in our local, Yucaipa area. On Tuesday night, the Administrative Council will be meeting via Zoom at 7 p.m. Anybody who actually wants to participate in a Zoom meeting, all you'll have to do is make contact with the office so that you can be included in the Zoom information. But just a heads up, it's the same login, as I recall, that our Sunday service is. So if you saw the email that invited you to this service, it had a Zoom connection, and that is the same connection. We're getting ready for our charge conference. The actual date of the charge conference is the end of the month. Is that when it is? It says the reports are due by this time, but
November 31st.
The 31st. I thought it was the end of the month, and it is the end of the month. So our charge conference is our annual meeting that we hold relative to our charge reports that go to the annual conference and district office are included in those, so we do have to account for ourselves, I guess is what that charge conference is our annual accounting for ourselves. And so that date is coming up when we who have to complete those reports have to have those reports completed. Lauren's been very insistent that we meet the deadline, so she'll have everything in order for us. So we appreciate her diligence in shepherding us along. And then we also have Stephen, who is here today, and he is still asking for any gently used clothing that will be used for inmates that are being released from prison. And as you can see from the list there, no dress clothes. Basically anything that you or I would wear is what a person being released would be wanting as well. He did tell me that they have wash machines on site, and so that if it weren't totally clean, no fear, it could be brought anyway, and they will take care of the washing. Steve, could you add any more to that? No folding. All right, thank you very much for bringing that to our attention. Thank you. If you couldn't hear him, he says, thank you very much for those donations. They appreciate it. So we're happy to help do our part as well. And so then we're going to be having our movie in, must be 2 weeks, I guess, November 4th, the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society. I had shared with you before that I read the book. I love the book. I can only imagine how fantastic the film will be. And so you're welcomed at 11 a.m. or a little before if you wanted to grab your snacks before the movie starts. So please join. As Pat Shores will tell us time and time again, not enough people participate in our Saturday movie. So put that on your schedule so that you are out and about by 10:30. That'll give you plenty of time to get to the church by a little before 11 and then spend 2 hours watching a great movie and having friends sit beside you as you do it. And once again, there are snacks. And then we'll have, I saw a couple of shoeboxes come in, and so the shoeboxes had gone out, and we had all of them go out, as I recall Deb having told us before. And so now the shoeboxes need to be coming back in. As you see here on the slide, they're going to be ready to ship off by November 5th. So clearly in this next week and a little bit, you should get those in so that they'll be ready to be shipped off and going to their destination and bringing much joy to those who receive those. Pastor, could you come here for just a second? I have something. Thank you very much. If you'll just stand here. No. Come. You just stand right here. I'm taller than you are. Yeah. I just wanted to point that out. When I stand here, I'm actually taller than him, but I'm not greater by any means. As was pointed out to us last Sunday, this is Pastor Appreciation Month. And so we want to let you know that we do appreciate you.
I'm happy to know that.
Okay. Well, it is. In the years that you have been here, if you want to look at slides, you can certainly look at slides. He has not only provided insightful spiritual guidance and powerful connectional worship, but has been involved in many projects to make our church safer and better able to serve our community. He has improved bathroom facilities. Look at that. If you haven't used our bathroom out there, it is beautiful. He has improved the kitchen that's in our upstairs kitchen, beautiful appliances that we have there. He's also done likewise in the downstairs kitchen, has helped to do the improvements in the downstairs kitchen. The stairwell enclosures that we have for our personal security at the church, ensuring that the stairwell covers all got completed. We have had a homeless problem around our church, and both this gates and lighting, as well as those stairwell enclosures, have gone a long way in ensuring we don't have unwanted guests at our site. Also, if you've gone downstairs for that movie and have gone down the stairs as opposed to the ramp, you've noticed that we have the beautiful, stainless steel handrails that are wonderfully installed and once again, mindful of our safety. We also have Faith Theaters 1 and 2, those beautiful screens that we have. Our pastor went to a lot of work. I mean, not just the physical work that went into it, but all the research that he went into to get the best deal and figure out how to get Part A and Part B to Yucaipa. So that was a great work that was accomplished. He's also established the wonderful monthly lunch social gatherings, of which many of you have enjoyed alongside him, and that is a wonderful opportunity to get to know one another more. We also have new worship display monitors, as you can see to my right, my left, and also up here. So we have new monitors that make it easier for all of us to see. We have a new piano, improved sound booth. So the sound booth, having worked in the sound booth, it's wonderful to be able to manipulate the information or the controls with little or no effort. I used to be envious of the persons who worked there previously, because it's like, man, they were flipping switches all over. And now it's like a button maybe that I have to push or something. So most appreciative of all the work that you have done along those lines. And of course, we can't forget your inspiring, insightful sermons. I've told Pastor on more than one occasion, he heard me praying, because obviously he touched me with something that he had said during a sermon, and how does he do that? So I'm sure that has happened to one or two of you on occasion, that how did he know I needed that message? So we're very, very appreciative. So these are some of the things that we appreciate about you, Pastor.
You forgot one thing.
What?
How about my jokes?
Oh, well, okay. So let's have a talk.
I worked really hard on it.
Yes, there are the jokes. And we'll not let that be the one thing that holds him back. There are the jokes, and that gives reason to continue to have Pastor here with us, so he can hone that skill of joke telling. So we appreciate you greatly, and thank you very much for being our pastor. Let's give him
thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to, don't make me embarrassed, because I mean, the whole situation when I got into this church made me work on all this, because we want to make our church presentable to the community with various programs. That's what got into me doing all this. But some of the things that you want to know, it's not me doing it. God has been working with me in all those projects, and bless all the projects so far. Thanks be to God for that. So I give God the glory and all the credit for that. And the beautiful piano you see is not what I did. My son donated it. And I just want to make a note of it. The major contribution for the Faith Theater 1 and 2 came from, actually, Jonathan covered most of the expenses for the Theater 2. And then Edward covered almost all the expenses except the projector for the Theater 1. So, it's not just me, even though you may not see my wife because of her health condition and all the stress she's going through, but my whole family has been serving you guys, and I am so happy to be able to work with you, and thank you for allowing me to all those projects. And I don't want to forget Dale. Dale's been working along with me all this time, and I thank him for all his expertise, his patience working with me, his guidance, and all that. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. And now we'll continue with our worship, and we'll begin with our call to worship. If you can stand, if you are able, and join me in the call to worship. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me.
You know when I sit and when I rise, and you perceive my thoughts from afar.
You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways.
Your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast.
And our hymn To begin is To God Be the Glory, number 98. Of the peace. Please say hello to those in the pews down from you.
Grab my pad. Forgot the ice pad. Mm-hmm. I forgot to bring my iPad this morning, so I'm going to use my cell phone to hook up the...
Oh, you can't see our folks.
Hopefully.
So I saw April. I can't see it myself right now. Usually we can see it in that little background. Okay, So we're going to go back to the people in a second. So right now, I was waiting for Deb to bring the mic, but she has the mic. Now we will have an offering of a prayer. Deanna.
Good morning. First, I'd like to thank Trudy for Song 431, Let There Be Peace on Earth. She fed right into our special prayer this morning. This was written by Rabbi Sheila Weinberg, the Jewish community of Amherst in Amherst, Massachusetts, and this is the picture that accompanied the prayer. We thought you might like to pray this throughout the week, so we had it printed out and put in the bulletin for you as well. Two peoples.
Oops.
Two peoples. One land. Three face. One root. One earth, one mother, one sky, one beginning, one future, one destiny, one broken heart, one God. We pray to you, grant us a vision of unity. May we see the many in the one, and the one in the many. May you, life of all the worlds, source of all amazing differences, help us to see clearly, guide us gently and firmly toward each other, toward peace. Amen.
Thank you for that prayer. And as Deanna indicated, there's a copy of that in your bulletin, so you can have that with you. And now we can see on the screen who all is out there. We have a lot of persons visiting us today from Zoom. Helen's still there, and Bill and April are there. Alicia's there, David is there, a couple of iPad people are there.
June and Joyce
are there.
Yeah.
So, hello to, and Christine is there, I just see Christine. So hello to everybody. We're glad to see you here, and we'll be calling on you in just a moment to hear any of your joys and concerns that you might have. At this time, Deb is going to carry the mic. If you have a joy or a concern, please put your hand up and we'll bring the mic to you.
I'm asking for a special prayer for my sister, Jeannie, who lives in Hawaii, that she'll know for sure on Tuesday if she has breast cancer. And a little family history, it has not skipped one person on the female side in our family, my great-grandma, my grandma, my mother, myself, and I have a sister who died of breast cancer. My sister is 61, and she thought that maybe she had beat the bullet, and it doesn't look like it. So if you'll just have special prayer for her. And then Ron and I will be leaving Tuesday and be gone for a week. So we ask for safe travels while we're gone.
Yes, we have a yearly railroad convention that we go to. I've been going for a number of years. Loreen went to her first one last year. I thought she would be bored to death with all the technical stuff and all the stuff about trains and everything. She absolutely loved it. So she's looking forward. We get to go to beautiful downtown Bakersfield this year. But next year, we go to Reno. Hopefully, I'll still be around by then.
You will be.
And I usually put on some kind of a presentation. I've had five magazine articles published about my experiences on the railroad, so we really look forward to it. Thank you.
I have a friend that goes to that. I would like to ask for special prayers for Wendy. She's one of our neighbors here, and her son comes to parents' night out. She had a mass on her pancreas, and she's got an appointment with the oncologist next Tuesday, so that doesn't look good. So please pray for her. She's a single mom, and she is a wonderful woman. She's a nurse. Just pray for strength and for healing for her.
Hi, Judith Thompson. I just want to thank everyone for all their prayers and checking up on me one way or another, some on social media, but however, I am finally over whatever stuff it was I had. And grateful to be over it and grateful to be here. But thank all of you for all your wonderful thoughts. I really appreciate it.
Hi there. Many of you know or have met Roseanne Reed. She comes now and then to watch The Chosen with us. She has come down with a very bad case of the flu, not COVID. She's testing negative for that. But please give her a prayer. She turned 80 this year, and we're worried about her. So thank you for your prayers.
I'd just like to add, I do have a get well card for Roseanne. If anybody wants to sign it, I'm doing an errand for her after church, so I'll take it to her.
And I want to welcome Ann and Katie back from their travels. I hear you had a wonderful time, and it's great to see you again.
Very nice.
Anybody else in the sanctuary?
Continue to pray for Lorraine Popejoy. She is doing very well. I mean, she's basically very healthy. And when I saw her this past week, the hospital was getting ready to place her at the Wild Wood Canyon facility. So she would have moved there by this time. Her niece from Maryland still here with her, probably for another week, and will be going. This is gonna be a big transition for her. You know, she hoped that she could go back, but she may not be able to go back home. So continue to pray for Lauren for the continued recovery. And some of you may wonder what happened to Susan Elmore, and she had some health issues, and then she recovered from it, and now traveling down in Argentina. So pray for a safe travel for her as well.
And before we move to the people on Zoom, Dale wanted me to let everybody know that there's a box of peaches from his trees in the fellowship hall. So come on over afterwards, get coffee, and take some peaches. Is anyone on Zoom, please raise your hand and unmute. Okay, we're moving on.
Thank you all for expressing your joys and concerns that we can share in that joy and expression of concern for you. And now, if you will join me in the unison prayer. Your knowledge of us is so profound. You knew us and planted seeds of faith in our hearts long before we acknowledged your presence. In due time, we received you into our lives as you illuminated the light of your Holy Spirit upon our souls. You have planned out how we should live with your providence. By your infinite wisdom and power, you foresee our path and sustain us. May we hold on to this faith you gave us and cherish our relationship with you today and unto eternity. In your precious name, amen.
Let us continue our prayers in silence, remembering all the prayer requests that have come before us. Let us also remember George Wicks and his families as they are grieving from the loss of Marilyn recently. Dear Lord Jesus, the trouble we see in this world never seems to go away. We see troubles in our lives, among our churches, in our communities, in our nation, and the world. everywhere we see them. But Lord, at the same time, by faith, we see your goodness and your mercy, your grace, your presence in our lives. And because of you in our life, O Lord, we can face all our troubles and overcome them. We did that before by your power and by your grace, and we can do it again. So, Lord, troubles we see never should trouble us. We are the people of faith. You have given us the faith to trust in you. And as we acknowledge our weaknesses, O Lord, in every way, we come to you. In prayer, we come to you as we trust in your name and your power in our lives. So, Lord, we open our hearts and our lives as we worship you this morning and invite you to come through your Holy Spirit, that you may manifest your power, your love, your presence for us once more, that we may receive strength and courage to meet all the challenges of this life, that we may be able to overcome them all by your power and move on. So as we worship you together as the community of faith, we acknowledge your presence in our lives, and we acknowledge that you are the one who rules over our lives, and we live according to your plan. So once more, we submit ourselves to you and to your will, and pray together that you continue to fulfill your will upon our life. Continue to use us to glorify your name. So as we rededicate ourselves once more to you, we join now the prayers together, the prayers that you taught us to pray. Praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power, the glory forever. Amen.
Today's story is The Fish Who Found the Sea by Alan Watts, illustrated by Koa Lee. Once upon a time, there was a fish who lived in the great sea. And because he was just an ordinary fish who had never known anything outside the great sea, he was not really aware that he was in it. He swam up and down and around without ever noticing that he was moving through the water, for the water was transparent. Whenever he moved, it got out of the way of his nose and yet gave him something against which he could push with his tail so to move himself along. Without it, he could neither swim nor live, but for all he knew, he might as well have been moving in empty space. Then one day, something peculiar happened to him. He began to think how curious it was that he could swim, for here he was, moving up and down, around in the midst of nothing at all by his own power. This, he thought, was surely very clever of himself. And then something else happened. You know how it is when you start thinking about something you do automatically, such as breathing or riding a bike, and you begin to get confused. It was the same with this. He began to get confused in his swimming. Looking down into the waters below him, he was suddenly terrified at the thought that he might forget how to swim altogether and go plunging forever into the darkness. At that moment, all his skill at swimming left him, and he began to fall. He realized then that there was just one chance of saving himself, to grab hold of his own tail with his mouth and hold himself up. At once, he curled up and made a snap at his tail. Unfortunately, his spine was not quite supple enough, and he missed. Not yet discouraged, he tried again and again with the same result, so that for some time he whizzed around in circles in frantic pursuit of his own end. The faster he chased his tail, the faster it moved away. This had been going on for some time when he began to realize that he was not getting anywhere and that his life was becoming dull, meaningless, and horribly monotonous. But he was much too frightened to stop. The fish was sure that if he relaxed the chase for a moment, he would plunge headlong into the abyss, and so he redoubled his efforts to save himself, in spite of the fact that he became more and more tired and disgusted every minute. Soon, he saw that he was in a hideous dilemma. He must either fall into the abyss or go on chasing his tail. Both alternatives were equally horrifying. He waved his fins in panic and prepared to die. In the meantime, the great sea had been watching this extraordinary behavior with mixed feelings of amusement and sorrow. For the great sea was as loving as it was vast. It gave all the creatures of the deep room to live and swim around. It never intruded upon them, always retiring generously before their noses and letting itself be pushed by their tails so they can move along. Still more, the great sea always surrounded them in such a way that it bore them up, made itself transparent so that they could see where they were going and enjoy all the wonders of the deep. Yet here was a crazy fish who thought he swam all by himself, who had gotten himself into a panic and was behaving as no fish should behave. Therefore, the great sea called out to the unhappy fish and asked him, "What do you think you're doing?" To which the fish replied, "I'm trying to catch hold of my tail and save myself from falling." "You have been doing that for a long time," observed the great sea, "and you are no nearer to catching it than when you started. So why haven't you fallen yet?" "Don't bother me," retorted the fish. "Can't you see that I'm busy?" "That's just what I can see," the great sea went on patiently. "But apparently you can't. You haven't caught your tail, you haven't fallen into the abyss, and yet you're still busy. How come?" "Oh, don't be stupid," snapped the fish. "Of course I haven't fallen down because I'm..." "Goodness, because I'm swimming." "You may well say goodness," said the great sea, "for how does it happen that you have stayed afloat and been able to swim during all this absurd performance?" This was too much for the fish. He stopped his chase and looked around to see who was talking to him. There was no one to be seen, and it was strange, but although he wasn't doing anything himself, he was still floating in the water, though it seemed to him as if he were suspended in empty space by some invisible force. "There now," continued the great sea, "you thought you were doing it all by yourself, and you never knew that I hold you up all the time. I have given all of myself to you, and yet you have forgotten me and wasted yourself in pursuing your own end. For it is in me that you live and swim and are able to be a fish, and to you that I have given the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of myself in which to swim." From that moment, the fish was happier than any other fish in all the waters of the world. Setting his own end behind him, where it belonged, he set out to explore the ends of the sea. And he found that wherever he moved, up or down, to the right or to the left, wherever the great sea expanded before him and supported him, so much so that he swooped and climbed and danced in joy, a creature in his true element, out of himself and into the sea, where indeed he had been all the time. The end. When we take a breath in, we breathe in the Spirit of God, and he becomes part of us. He is what keeps us alive. So for every breath we take, may God permeate our being. May we be aware of his presence. Amen.
Amen. What a beautiful segue to our next song, "Precious Lord, Take My Hand." Number 474.
Let me trust I fold. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears and the night draws near and the day feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of John, verse 1. Chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. Titled, Jesus Calls Philip and Nathanael. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So good to see you all. And I mean, this is my day. My day. I wasn't planning on it. You guys didn't have to recognize all that. It took extra time out of the service. I'm always looking to into the keeping the service in time. Now, thanks to you, it's going to be delayed a little bit, so put up with me this morning. One thing, though, I just want to make sure that you understand all this. It's not me. I'm here to serve you. That's why God sent me over here. And one thing I learned over the years is that, I don't want to be emotional, God loves this church for sure. That's for sure. I experienced it over and over and over again. God opened all the closed doors to make things happen and, you know, work miracles many times. So it wasn't, you know, my skill or anything. I mean, I spent a lot of time in researching to do the projects because I did not know how to do. But God opened the doors, like, you know, Dale and I are about to install the movable partitions this week and, you know, order it from China. And then all that, not knowing whether we're going to get a really good one, turns out to be the partition that came was, you know, really good quality, professional quality, and it's going to be a big addition to the fellowship hall. And I did not know, because, I mean, all the rules have been changed, you know, because of the border issues and things. So I had to go through all the hoops, through the customs and you know, all the national agencies. I did not know how. God helped me find the right one. I mean, out of the like a Google search, there were like a 700 brokers, import brokers available around Southern California. And I led to the one who happened to be a very devout Christian. And he directed me to do all the works. He filled the paperwork for me and all that. So we were able to get the petition all the way from China. So God was involved in it because God loves this church. God loves each and every one of you belong to the church. And my hope and dream through all this project is that this church will continue to grow. That's the main goal behind all this project. So let's work together to make this church grow and pray that God will send a lot of people to bless our congregation. And many of you are already a blessing because you know, you have come to this church and be part of this church since I came. So thank you all. Thank you. A secret agent was sent to Ireland to pick up some sensitive information from an agent named Murphy. His instructions were to walk around town using a code phrase until he met his fellow agent. He found himself on a desolate country road and finally ran into a farmer. "Hello," the agent said. "I'm looking for a man named Murphy." "Well, you are in luck," said the farmer. "As it happens, there's a village right over the hill where the butcher is named Murphy, the baker is named Murphy, and three widows are named Murphy. Matter of fact, my name is Murphy." "Aha," the agent thought. "Here is my man." So he whispered the secret code. "The sun is shining, grass is growing, the cows are ready for milking." "Oh," said the farmer, "you are looking for Murphy the spy. He's in the village over the other direction." Where was the Murphy that secret agent was looking for? Was the farmer the real Murphy in disguise? If he wasn't, how could the farmer recognize the code phrase that made himself a good candidate to be a real Murphy? Supposedly, an intelligent farmer knew so many Murphys, but his knowledge about them may be just superficial and unreliable. Think about it. People in our life circle, like parents, siblings, and friends, know us in depth, not like, you know, so many Murphys out there. We don't even have to tell them what happens. They notice our troubles by just looking at us. Who knows ourselves more than any of those people in our life circle? Of course, it is us individually. And there is a big gap between what we know of ourselves and what people know of ourselves. We sometimes feel that no one knows our troubles and feel lonely even when loved ones surround us. So how much do we know about ourselves? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, "I know in part." Human knowledge is partial. And Paul continued, "But I am fully known." God's knowledge of us is far superior to any human. King David wrote about how thorough God's knowledge of us is in Psalm 139 and said, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depth of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. I mean, how profound the knowledge of God of David was. According to David, God knows so perfectly about us, including all our days, such as the days of the beginning and the end, the days of successes and failures, the days of happiness and troubles. You know, I mean, you know, as a side note, I didn't plan to come to Yucaipa. If I knew, I probably wouldn't want to come, right? But I believe, if you would believe, God knew that I would be here. Isn't that amazing? Nathanael's encounter with Jesus shed light on God's knowledge of us and how God's knowledge works to form our faith. I mean, that's what the scripture lesson is today, and we'll look into it more. Many of you saw the movie Chosen, and in the movie, Nathan appears frequently as one of the core followers of Jesus, and you may wonder why. Who is this Nathan? The gospel do not record Nathan as a disciple. And have you heard of that? Nathan as a disciple? No. And Nathan does not appear frequently in them either. Nathan is a nickname for Nathanael, which appeared only twice in four Gospels altogether. The first place is in the first chapter of John's Gospel, which we just read. Jesus began his public ministry and started calling his disciples, and Nathan was there in the first chapter. The only other place that Nathan appeared is the last chapter of John, the first chapter of John and the last chapter of John. After the crucifixion, disillusioned disciples went back to their old profession of fishing in the Sea of Galilee, but could not catch any fish after spending the night. Nathanael was with the disciples. The resurrected Jesus appeared and told them to throw their nets on their right side of the boat. When they did, they caught so many and could not hold the net. So who was that Nathanael that appears at the first chapter and the last chapter of John's Gospel? Most scholars agree that he was Bartholomew. You know Bartholomew? One of the 12. It was why Nathan was with the disciples in the movie. Nathanael was not as prominent as some other disciples, but John's Gospel shows that he remained faithful to Jesus from the beginning and to the end. Was Nathanael like that before he met Jesus? He wasn't. He was a completely different person. In fact, he had enormous barriers to becoming a believer. The first barrier was his extreme skepticism. At an invitation from Philip, he simply blurted out, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" You know, Philip's invitation, Philip said, "This guy that I just met from Nazareth, the laws of Moses, the Torahs, and the prophet was talking about him. I just found him. What a great guy he is." But it just didn't move Nathanael at all. And he just simply said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" He never met Jesus, but effortlessly ruled him out simply because of the geographical origin of Jesus. Nazareth was a poor man's town, the geology of it supports this understanding. It was a small town located in a small basin surrounded by hill. Therefore, it had limited land for agriculture, wasn't very accessible, and had few commercial activities. Nathanael's reaction to Philip shows how much the public despised the town as in its residents. Regardless, Nathanael should not have made the judgment based on his assumption and prejudice, which led him to extreme disbelief. The second barrier he had was he was a man of virtue. Jesus even acknowledged how good he was and said, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Jesus never gave this kind of compliment to anybody else but Nathanael. Nathanael supposedly lived with a good conscience and would not have violated any laws. He was basically flawless. Do you know the two greatest barriers that obstruct people from believing in Jesus? To me, these two barriers are the ones. Anyone who learns about Jesus without prejudice and bias can never have such an extreme skepticism like Nathanael had. By just looking at Jesus of Nazareth as a historical figure who knew no deceit and spoke the truth, people can easily see that what Jesus said was and is and will be true. And it is not so hard for them to become a believer. But unfortunately, irrational skepticism caused by prejudices close people's heart toward Jesus. Conscience can serve to enlighten people to realize how imperfect they are and guide them to Christ. But it also works as a huge blockage. If anyone thinks that he follows his good conscience and lives his life flawlessly, why should he feel the need for redemption? He wouldn't. Due to these two barriers, Nathanael almost lost the chance to become a believer in Jesus. What happened to Nathanael? Jesus' perfect knowledge of him changed him. Nathanael never met Jesus before and had strong doubts about Jesus, but Jesus knew him inside and out. Jesus even took notice of his little move under a fig tree. You know, we have now three fig trees in our church campus. Fig trees had been in existence before Israel entered the land of Canaan. Fig trees are believed to be almost everywhere in Israel during the time of Jesus. Think about it. The trees have beak and plenty of leaves and provide a very nice shade. So many people were resting under so many fig trees. Nathanael, resting under the fig tree, was very inconspicuous, hidden from public view, but Jesus noticed him. When he did not think of Jesus as someone worthy of note. What does this mean? Nathanael's journey, faith journey, began long before Nathanael personally encountered Jesus. But this is not exactly what people think. A popular understanding is that only after people realize what Jesus means to them do they make a personal confession of faith. Our faith is a result of our personal commitment to Jesus. But the story of Nathanael speak to us something more profound. God knows us long before our personal actions to believe, and He plans to come into our lives. We naturally have many barriers to not believing in Jesus, like Nathanael had. But God works in our hearts so that we may overcome those barriers. Before we knew Him. And this, John Wesley puts the prevenient grace. Before we know Jesus, before we know God, God already works in our lives. So look at our faith from that perspective. You know, we may think that our faith is the production of our own will and our knowledge, right? But it is given to us by God as a gift. I'm going to share a testimony that June shared with me about her mom's passing this past Wednesday. It wasn't very interesting because I was working on my sermon, and when June shared this story, I immediately thought, well, this just perfectly fits to the message that I'm going to share this morning. So June kindly sent me a letter with this testimony. So I'm going to share this with you. In April 1994, June and her late husband formed up plans for their yearly late summer visit to June's elderly mother about 3,000 miles away. And June's mother had been a wonderful Christian and very devout Christian woman, and raised all her kids in the faith. And June said this, at that time, her mom shared her apartment with with my sister, with whom she would often share some of her thoughts. One of each was that the Lord had in mind by showing her the number 97. Would she die 1997? Live to be 97? Or was it some other prophecy? 2 weeks before our departing date, the call came from my sister. Mother was in the hospital. The news, not good. A very advanced form of cancer had suddenly taken its toll, and she had collapsed. Could we come sooner? Circumstances beyond our control made it seem impossible to us. We prayed for direction. Another call from my sister the following day reported mother's words to me. Tell June to go ahead and do what she is scheduled to do. I will wait. I don't know if anybody can do that, you know. God, don't call me today because I'm not quite ready yet. Call me tomorrow. June continued, I did and she did. We boarded a flight we had paid for in April, arriving on a Wednesday night towards the end of August, and drove to the hospital where mother lay alert and waiting to visit. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, she grew increasingly quiet as we shared the watch at her bedside. Early Sunday morning, as we were singing familiar hymns over her, she opened her eyes briefly, and after having said nothing for 2 days, said in a very clear but disgusted voice, "Oh, I'm still here." But within the hour, as we continued singing, she gradually entered heaven's gate with the most contented expression. And you know what? The day of her passing was only a week before her 97th birthday. Isn't that amazing? She somehow got the message from God that she was gonna be called home when she turned 97, and God did. How accurate that was. June's mom knew the date God set for her to go home. How about us? How about our lives? God knows all our days, as David confessed in the psalm. With a perfect knowledge of us, God took the initiative to give us faith in Him. We once had a lot of barriers which would have made us doubt and reject God. But God worked in our hearts and lives to plant faith in us before we knew Him. We were chosen by God first instead of us choosing God. Our faith is not our own production, but is given to us by God as a gift. We need to keep it at any cost and remain faithful to God as Nathanael did. Amen.
Your gifts of your tithes and offerings are what help to support our church, and we appreciate all that you're able to give in your tithes and your offerings, and you may place them at the plate at the end of the service, or you can mail them into the office. Thank you for doing that.
Of me, praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit,
Lord Jesus Christ, as you gave your whole being for our salvation, here we are recommitting ourselves to love you, to serve you, your church, and your people. As you have blessed us, O Lord, we want to bless you in all we do. So receive this offering, make it a fragrance before your presence, and bless us, bless the ministry of this congregation, that we may continually glorify you through the mission and ministries. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing hymn today is number 701, When We All Get to Heaven.
Even before we knew you, thank you for choosing us first, even before we chose you. Thank you for loving us first, before we loved you. We love you, Lord. We bless you. We give our lives to you to glorify your name. May we cherish this faith that you gave us until we see you face to face, and keep it unto eternity. Therefore, Lord Jesus, send us forth in your peace as we recommit ourselves to carry out your will in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.